Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to the Roofer Show podcast, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and my co-host, John Delorier, Delorier Roofing, Savannah, Georgia, sitting right next to me, or I'm looking at him in the on the other side of this Zoom call.
We're on each coast, Dave. We're on each coast.
East coast, we are. I'm in California, and it's a beautiful day. What's going on out there in Georgia?
It's also a beautiful day here at the beach. Sunny skies. I'm looking out the window. Yeah, it's a little breezy, but it is about 72 degrees, so it's nice.
Couple of guys just living the dream, man.
Except my kids woke me up at 2:16 a.m., and I wasn't able to fall back asleep. So now if you hear me chewing something, I'm eating candy, Sour Patch Kids, to keep myself awake.
Well, I get up early anyway, just because I can't sleep because I got so much stuff rattling around up there. You know, it's scary. But we got a great show today, and I know it's a great show, and we should have hit record here about half an hour ago because John and I have been sitting here talking about all the things that are going on in our lives, in our business, the struggles that we're having. Everybody's having, apparently, because you just got back from a retreat that we want to hear about. We talk about the 2-week vacation all the time, right? Is that you need to be able to take 2 weeks off from your business and have it still run. If it relies on you and your business will fall apart without you, you don't have a business. You've got a job. And this is how we build out our businesses through strategic business planning. Come up with a plan so you can take time off, recharge, also have this business running profitably when you're not there every day. You first have to hire the right people. You have to train them. You have to hold them accountable and then get the hell out of the way and let them do the best job they can. And that's how they're going to learn. That's how they're going to improve, by giving them responsibility. And that's the only way you're going to be able to remove yourself and build value into that business. Because if your business relies on you, you don't have any value in that business because you can never get out of there. What's the value of your business if you're gone? That's no way to run a business. So John, just back from vacation with your family. Tell us a little about what you've been doing and how that went.
It was a great trip. It was the Roofing Insights retreat. About 31 kids and 31 adults, I believe, is the actual number. So a lot of kids running around the snow. It was a really, really fun time. Great time. My kids had never seen snow before, so that was fun for me. And from a business perspective, we still sold work and we still produced work. And we still invoiced, and I didn't do anything. And so that was really encouraging because I've been training some new people on my team. And so they really executed for being basically brand new. I was really, really pleased. While we're still, you know, we were on Lake Superior in the snow, everything was still running in the business back home. So I did love that part about it.
Now, I doubt that this just happened. You must have put a little effort and planning into building your business this way. Is that right? Or did this just magically appear?
It's unbelievable amount of work. And I'm not, you know, I'll never be finished. There's always things to tweak and work on. But yes, an enormous amount of late nights, early mornings, a lot of planning, a lot of writing in my journal, making sure that my processes are correct, a lot of workflows. And I'm no Adam Sand, but I want to be like him in some sense of making my business run efficiently and run effectively and run without me as quickly as I can. So yeah, a lot of work, not easy, a lot of time, a lot of money. But in the end, it's all worth it for me to be able to go on vacations and stuff still happens.
So you're saying it took you a few years to become an overnight success, huh? Just didn't pretty happen much. Like that.
Yeah, we're year seven, and I definitely don't feel like an overnight success still. I'll probably got another 7 years probably, but it is working well right now. So I do like that.
But wouldn't you say if you do not plan, if you don't take action, if you don't work at it and really have that end in mind, it's not going to happen. And we see this in our coaching business all the time is that, it's one thing to talk about this. Everybody wants that. I mean, we all want the same thing, right? Is I want to make a ton of money. I don't want to have to work very hard. I want to be able to go out and play golf. And then when I feel like it, I'm going to go sell my business for a ton of money. And then I can sit on the beach and do whatever I want. It's kind of how it works, right?
Well, it is like that. So you do have to have the desire and you have to know the why. You have to have your specific individual goals, personally and professionally and financially. You got to do that. You got to execute on that plan and then you have to maintain that plan. So I would say, this is a never ending thing for an owner. This is one of the biggest activities you can do is to constantly be looking at that big picture and making sure that all the components of your business actually are running efficiently. It's really our job as owners. It's not to go out and do inspections and to do sales and production. That may be part of it in the beginning, but eventually you're going to do the plan, you're going to execute the plan, and then you're going to maintain that plan over years and years and years until you're ready to sell.
My opinion, it doesn't matter what we're doing. We could be selling shoes. It's still running a business. And this is where you've got to get your mind right and wrapped around this. And this is why you have to understand the numbers, the building, the business, all the parts that go into this. As we talk about, it's like a three-legged stool. You have to sell work, you have to do work, and you've got to keep score. And that stool has to be solid and strong. And we were just having this conversation. Contractors that have got all these sales, okay, but you can't get it installed profitably because they don't have enough installers. I mean, that's a huge problem. Or really the biggest problem that we see is the scorekeeping is screwed up. They don't have their scorekeeping down. They don't have their bookkeeping, their books, their financials straight where you can really see what's going on. They're not job costing. So we say, we're making money. Well, you don't know if you're making money on the jobs because you're not job costing. You're not taking your estimate versus what actually happened and looking at that variance. Did you hit your targets? Did you do this and that? That's the scorekeeping. This is why it's so important to have all of these things together. This is running a business. And generally, contractors, they either came up through the trades or they came out of sales. Very few contractors came out of the financial end and understand their accounting. So this is where things get weak. Did you have something to jump in here, John?
No, I was just shushing my kids. They're yelling at me right now.
You do it all. But we've got a great show for you today because we don't really have anything planned necessarily when we started, but now I'm crystal clear on what we want to talk about. And this is really kind of digging into our sales process. This becomes more important than ever when we're coming into some tougher times. And John, back to your conference, you spoke with a lot of contractors. We just had this conversation. What's going on out there in the marketplace? What do you see as far as the economy, as far as what the contractors are seeing? What do you have for us and what did you guys share? Because you said you were all pretty much on the same page.
So, every market's different. Every situation is different, but there were some themes, and it really was helpful just to, you know, at dinner time, chat with several different contractors in different parts of the country. So there's a lot of contractors that are really crushing it. They crushed it last year. They could be retail or insurance, but there is somewhat of a theme where there is either a little bit medium-sized to larger companies are typically doing really well. If you're under, you know, 3 million, probably it's a little bit more difficult because there's a lot of people in that boat that are trying to, there's a lot more contractors trying to get the same roof than there were in the past 2 years. So this episode is a little, showing a little vulnerability for myself. So showing some of my mistakes that I've made over the past 18 to 24 months that I could have done better. So a lot of people, there were growth every year. And then 2022, there was a dip in business, just like my business. So, it was frustrating. I did do some changes. I added a market. We knew that there was going to be a slower year because we're going into a different market. I didn't have anyone in place physically for my first market. We're still selling jobs online. We're just like we were since 2019. It was still happening, but one theme was that there was a dip in the market last year for many contractors, both in profit margin, close rate, total revenue. There was just a dip all around. Many different states said the same thing. Many different contractors in different states said that same thing. The second thing they said was there's a combination of using technology and then in-person sales process that was going to be effective. It's going to be, while I do definitely love Roofl's RoofQuote Pro, I love SumoQuote, I love all these technologies. I obviously love ProLine and the follow-up with that. That is very important to have in your process. What has become very clear in a slower time is that homeowners, and we're talking about residential, still are wanting someone to be at their home for at least an inspection. It doesn't have to necessarily be a hard sale, but they still, you have to check that box moving forward. It's been more difficult last year. This year, 2023 has actually been okay. It's actually, we've actually had a, we're still lower than we normally are. We're at 30% close rate right now, which is too low. It was a little bit higher earlier this year when we lost some jobs in April or in March really. So if we're somewhere in the 35 to 40% close rate, that's where we want to be. But everyone was saying that you need that combination of technology and some sort of inspector or salesperson to be on their at their home at some point, whether they're present or not. Now, Rodney Webb's amazing. There's an amazing process for Rodney Webb. It doesn't have to be Rodney Webb's process, but some sort of combination was kind of the conclusion that everyone was coming to, that in person showing some sort of differentiator, a USP, unique selling proposition, physically there and showing that USP with your technology, with its follow-ups, automations, your CRM, your proposal with SumoQuote, whatever it was, you had to use that combination now. So it's becoming more and more difficult to sell each job because you have to have all those pieces together in order to actually make the sale. So that's the two biggest things I took away from the retreat. And I'll be implementing them this year, because what we did last year is we just kind of operated as normal, and that wasn't good enough for the customers. Our close rate was much lower than it should have been. Our profit margin was, it was still the same, but we weren't actually really sharpening our pencils. And so making sure that we're as competitive as we can be in the market while maintaining a good net profit, a good gross profit, and making sure we're covering our overhead. So yeah, it's been a rough year for several contractors I talked to, including us. But really, I mean, 2023 has been great. We had a fantastic January. We're having a great year so far, way ahead of last year. But we still have a long way to go for this year. We're in Savannah, Georgia, which there are storms. So we, if we have a storm, we'll have a record year by far.
And as you said, around different parts of the country, we're talking about retail. We're not talking about the storm market necessarily, because hey, it's luck of the draw. Who knows what's happening? You know, you look up at Denver. I mean, those guys that are waiting for storms are
3 or 4 years of no storms. Really dangerous way to run your business. But then on the flip side, you do have to be prepared to handle the selling and the producing of the work if a storm hits. So you can't, it's a very difficult juggling act. Some of the contractors, you know, are getting a ton of estimates out there, but then they don't know how to produce them. So it's kind of both ways kind of deal. You got to make sure you're prepared if it does happen, and then also don't rely on it, a storm specifically, for the entirety of your business.
Yeah, and that's why we always talk about having a retail model and how to set up that process. That's what we're going to get into today. Certainly my specialty out here in California. I mean, well, you said you've never seen snow. There's like 40 feet of snow up in the mountains this year. It's crazy. And we're big skiers, so we're up there. And I mean, when we can get there, it's nuts. I mean, we'll be skiing through 4th of July, which is awesome because we've got a Lake Tahoe, ski in the morning, and then go down and water ski on the lake in the afternoon. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of problems with California, but you know, you're paying that weather tax because it is pretty nice. So, let's talk about some of this. It's tough and you've got to be able to adjust. And that's what we're going to talk about. Things are slowing down, perhaps. Maybe in your market, they're not. But if you're listening to the news every night, they're just talking about how the economy sucks. It's the end of the world. You know, everybody's going to be out of a job and so on and so forth. It's called the wealth effect, is that when things are going up and your house is appreciating and so forth, you feel wealthy and you're going out and buying new cars and appliances, roofs, all kinds of things. But it also has the opposite effect. So now people are feeling poor. Okay. And so they are watching their dollars. The only thing that's really kicking ass, which is hard to figure, is vacations. Okay. People are going on vacation and that's where they're spending their money. Probably not on roofs, but they're going on vacations because everybody's been cooped up and so forth and they want to get away. Here we are. Maybe things are changing. So what's happening? We had this conversation, John and I, earlier about margin, where is really running up against a price ceiling like he hasn't seen before. And this is what happens. It just, you know, I can save a few bucks here, where before it wasn't as price sensitive, perhaps. So now here we are, we're running into some tougher times. So what do we do? Now, John mentioned that he's around a 30% margin, I think, now.
Yep. So previously, around a 36%, 30, maybe 38 for retail. Insurance work would be in the 40s to 50s or higher, but we mainly do retail. So I dropped it from a 36, a sumo quote, you know, you can mess with your margin bar and keep a minimum. So we're 30% margin now. And I regret not doing it earlier. Not that I want to make less money, but that my close rate was too low. So again, like Dave said in the beginning, you have a plan, you execute the plan, and then you continue to maintain the plan. Where I genuinely failed last year was, it wasn't necessarily pride, but the idea of the type of business that I run is a lower volume, high margin business, and that just doesn't work anymore. We've had perfectly ideal A+ customers, prospects, and they will give the roof to a random roofer for $500 on a $30,000 roof. And so we have to really make sure that our pricing is as competitive as it can be. Going through a sales process, going through all the differentiators, going through the unique selling propositions that we have, what makes us different, all those parts of the process we've been doing for 7 years, didn't really matter and has continued to not really matter that much. When it comes down to, you know, these customers would say, your proposal is the best, your process is the best, you follow up with us the most. We know you're going to do a good job. You install the best roof systems. You have the best warranties, but we're still going to go with this other company who we don't know and doesn't have any reviews for $600 or $800 less. And so that was very frustrating for more than a year. So what I've done is pivoted. I'm going to make sure that we're actually getting that work at still a decent margin at 30%. We'd like to be much higher, but that's really where, in at least in the South, I'm hearing that from other, I heard from another contractor in Texas, same deal. He was around, we don't really price per square, but he was around 400 to 450 a square. And there are other companies selling for 280 to 300 a square, which is insane. They're putting themselves out of business, but that's really what's happening, is that his business is also has declined because these other contractors have low overhead, are just working for wages and taking the work away from us who want to do right by the customer, want to maintain a warranty, all those things. If you're listening to this, make sure that you're serving your customers. They do deserve to work with you because you do care about every roof you install, and you want the customer to have a good experience, but also have a good roof that doesn't leak for a long, long time. So it's our responsibility to adjust our pricing, adjust our sales process to make sure that we serve our communities that we're in. Because what's happening is homeowners are walking up to me in the grocery store parking lot saying how much they regret not choosing me because there's holes in their roof now and they can't get their roof fixed. So you don't want that to happen. You need to do right by them by showing them the difference and making sure you're competitive as possible in this slower economy that we're currently in.
Well, you and I disagree a little on this, and that's what I want to talk about. But as you say, you got to be prepared to pivot. You've got to adjust the plan. First off, you've got to have a plan, and then you've got to be able to adjust. It's like the boxer Mike Tyson says, okay? Everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. So we've got to be able to adjust our plan accordingly. Now, first off, we talk about, John said, 30% gross profit. Well, the gross profit margin, and margin is always a percentage, one of our main KPIs that we track on every job. We've got sales, the sale of the job, the sale of your monthly income, total sales, minus your job costs, what it costs us to do the work, what's left over. That's gross profit. Gross profit dollars, then it's a percentage. What's the percentage divided back into the sales? It's that percentage. It's the margin that we need to track on every job. The easy way to do it, because each job, we're going to take our costs, we're going to mark those up to get a certain sale price that's going to give us the gross profit that we have to run our business. Gross profit margin. Okay. That's estimating, that's job costing, that's the main focus or KPI of every job. The gross profit is what's going to pay for our expenses, all our costs to keep the doors open, utilities and office salaries and so forth. We've got to have enough money generated by the gross profit to cover those expenses and make a net profit. But we don't track that on each job. We're only tracking the gross profit margin for our job cost. And to cost a job, you have to take your estimate versus your actual, what it actually cost you. You got to know that. And what the variance is, whether you had slippage or grippage is what it's called. If you have slippage, that's dollars slipping through your fingers. Maybe you had to use more material or something screwed up with the labor, whatever it is, you had additional costs above your estimate. You have to know what that is so you can course correct. Otherwise, you wait till the end of the year to see if you made any money or not. Well, it's too late. You don't want to be looking through the rear view mirror. You want to be looking through the windshield on what's ahead. This is why it matters. So if we're talking having to drop our gross profit from, let's say, 40% to 30% as an example. Okay, our average job size is $10,000. Our budget for the month is $100,000. That means we have to do 10 jobs that are $10,000. Okay, so we take each one of those jobs, $10,000. What's it going to cost us to do that job? Well, let's say it costs us $6,000. Okay, we've got $40,000 left over, or $4,000 left over. That's 40% gross profit. Okay, we add that up for the month. It's it's $40,000 on the $100,000. Right, that's what we have left over. Now, if our overhead, our nut, our everyday cost, this is your overhead expense, which for the most part is fixed because you're paying salaries every week, you're paying your rent, you're paying utilities are pretty much the same. So we need that number. What's that number, you know, your nut to keep the doors open, to keep the lights on, to break even? You have to know that number. That's why we start with, what does it cost you to do business on those overhead expenses? Because those expenses are running whether we do any work or not. If we do zero jobs, let's say we're out of work, well, you still got to pay that amount of money. Okay, now if we bid our jobs, we estimate our jobs at a 40% margin. This simple way, I mean, it's not complicated. Everybody does all these crazy things. Here's how you estimate your jobs. Here's how you mark up your jobs. It's a simple chart. It's a formula. It's a number. It's not complicated, okay? You want to get a 40% margin. You mark your job. You take your job costs. You mark those up by, I think the number is, say, 1.67. Right in there, that's going to give you your sales price of $10,000. You're marking up the $6,000 that it costs you to do the job, all your materials, everything that it costs. You're marking that up by this formula. In this case, it's 1.67. Now, that's going to give you a 40% gross profit, okay? Or $40,000 left over after we've done these 10 jobs for the month. We hit our sales target of $100,000. We've got $40,000 left over. If our overhead, our monthly nut is $30,000, well, we're going to have $10,000 left over from that. That's our net profit, okay? Well, that's good. That's what we're shooting for. Let's say at least 10% net left over. Now, let's say we change that markup. We're not able to get our price, so we're only going to get 30%. That means we sell this job at 30%. Now we've 30% margin, okay? Now we're only going to have $3,000 left over from the job, or $30,000 from the 10 jobs added up that we do, right? 30% margin. So we've got 40% and we've got 30%. Well, that's a 10% swing. Okay, so now we've got $30,000 left over after we've paid all our supplies and materials to do the job, 30 grand. Well, we just said our overhead was 30 grand every month. Okay, you just wiped out all your profits. So you're working for the fun of it. Or as we call it, practice, okay? How much practice do we need? We're in the business to make a net freaking profit after you've paid yourself a good salary, a real salary, which is generally, let's say, 10% of sales as a rule of thumb, okay? That's the number. So if you're not doing that, you've got a problem. So we got two things that we can do. One is we can cut our costs. We can do it for less. Well, how the hell are you going to do that? Go down and get Home Depot guys or something, and then they're going to really screw it up. Well, your materials, you're not going to get those much cheaper. So you're pretty much stuck on the cost to do the job. Now, let's say we can cut our overhead. Well, can you? Well, we're going to not have some of these things. You're going to get rid of the pool tables. You know, the boat, sorry, it's got to go. All of these other things. And you always need to run a lean operation. And most of those costs are going to come from people. So if you can automate instead of having all these people around, particularly when things get tighter, it's one thing when you're making a ton of money. People don't seem to be a problem, but now you're talking about maybe making cuts. Point being is, you know, if you can't cut your costs, the only way that you can stay in business is by raising your price, somehow getting a higher margin. So this is the difference, what we're talking about here with John and, you know, my view. We better figure something out. And the first thing is to examine your sales process. Now, I disagree with the fact that, you know, hey, everybody goes on price. Well, price is a factor, but time and time again, it's not the only factor. And it's not even necessarily the top factor. People buy from people they like, first off. So if you're an a-hole, you shouldn't be in this business, okay? If you can't show them, as John says, the differentiator, why you're different, your unique selling proposition, the USP, you're going to have a problem because they're just going to look at you as a commodity. This is what the trouble is. So anyway, I've gotten way too deep on this. I had a solo podcast last week because John was out of town. This was episode number 322. Been doing this for a hell of a long time, John. You know that, right? I mean, you know.
I do know that. Very consistent.
It is amazing. So 322 weeks in a row. Love doing this, man. It's great stuff. But last week, our topic was, what's the industry average gross profit margin on a roof? Okay. Now, we got into a deep discussion, and that's a show that you definitely want to go back and listen to if you haven't caught that, or go listen to it again, because we talk about gross profit margins and the fact that you cannot compare your business with someone else because of all kinds of different reasons, different cost structures, screwed up books, you know, which is a big thing that we see where contractors don't understand their numbers. So you're not comparing apples to apples, let's say. So that's the first thing.
Okay. What'd you say earlier though? We got to compare apples to oranges now, right? That's a good one.
I said, you're running up against, you know, you're having a hard time selling. I said, well, hey, when everybody's selling apples, we go sell oranges. Okay. Don't get in there and beat your head against the wall with these guys. And if we're, and you're exactly right when it comes to how do we know our prices are correct? Because we're going to look at that through our close rate. This is why you have to understand your close rate. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if you're saying that's the only margin you can get, people aren't going to go any higher. Okay, well, there's a couple of things. One that you got to look at is, what's the problem? Okay, well, one can be your sales process. You're not differentiating yourself between others. So we're talking about you're not selling properly because you're selling a commodity, perhaps. And this is what most people do. They're selling a commodity. homeowner, they, you know, prospects, they don't know the difference between roofs. They think a roof's a roof's a roof. You know, I mean, it's just like going down and buying a pickup down at the dealer. Hey, it's the same here, whether you buy it from this dealer or that. Well, we're not selling a commodity because we know that there is a lot more that goes into it. We've got, you know, you're up there building a product from scratch in the weather, you know, with limited resources, let's say, you know, and we're not talking about going by Home Depot and picking up our labor and coming up there and installing a roof. We have, as many contractors do. Well, we've got to show them the difference. Now, one difference is if you go look at the Better Business Bureau, the number one complaint is from roofers, roofing contractors that have all kinds of problems. Well, that means that there is a difference between contractors, between companies. And you look at all those things that they're complaining about. Hey, Mrs. Jones, do you want to go through that customer experience? You know, I don't think so. Look at the reviews. This is why reviews are so important. You got a 1 or 2 star review. You go look at what's going on. And there's all kinds of reasons why you do not want to go with a low cost contractor. And it usually comes down to communication. So you're right, John, when we've got all of these things going on, we have to take all the steps. We have to use the technology that's available. We have to have our sales process down. You can't be an a-hole. People have to like you, okay? You know, is your sales process as good as it should be? And that's the first place you want to look. And that's what we're going to get into here. Did you put a clock on this thing? I don't know how long we've been going on.
I have no idea. We're just talking. Let's go.
My God. You know, you're supposed to watch all this stuff because, as you know, I mean, you guys can't see me right now, but my hands are going, you know, Sullivan, you know, that's the Italian in me coming out, you know, just going on and on, but hopefully. Okay. So you got to have your sales process down. We've got to have all these things. And it's becoming harder from what I'm hearing you say, John, because you're running into your competition, which are all solid contractors. They're all pretty much doing the same things. So these now are becoming the ante to get into the game. Okay. Just to get into the game, we're having to step up our program. Okay. Now, where I disagree, and I still think that, there is room for this. People just don't buy on price. But I use my experience here. What it was a couple summers ago, I put a new roof on. I don't know any, you know, residential roofers. I was in commercial. So we got to get this. My wife goes out and gets 4 bids, right? And it's all kinds of different sales approaches. But the bottom line was, here you got 4 of these quotes sitting here. They all look the same. I'm in the business and they all look the same to me. You know, so here's a prospect who's got all these numbers sitting here and there is no difference. I mean, they all look crappy, you know, as far as the proposals, and there's no follow-up, no anything. I'm just like, oh, what the hell do I do? Well, I actually said, these guys are all bozos. I'm going to bring my commercial guys in because they all do work on the side and so forth. And they're out there putting on shingles every weekend. So, hey, come on and do this. We did the job. It was great. But it's a low bar, I think, because you call 4 roofers and maybe 2 will show up. You know, none of them, you know, a lot of times they don't answer their phone. You can't get hold of them. And this communication problem is huge. So first off, we've got to be able to know that we're selling correctly. Now, this is the perfect segue to talk about one of our sponsors, and that is the Sales Transformation Group, because this is what they do. They teach you to sell. They teach you to sell with confidence. This can be the best investment that you can make. And this becomes even more important as things slow down, as that pie starts to shrink. You have got to improve your selling skills, as we've been talking about all along. And they will teach you that. They've got a number of classes that will help you learn to sell, get that process down. You can sell with confidence, and you improve your close rate. So check out the Sales Transformation Group at salestransformationgroup.com/roofershow. Talk to them, tell them you heard about us on the about them on the show, and give us a pat on the back. But they're great guys over there, and they have helped a lot of our contractors. And you have to learn to sell in this business, particularly now. So check out the Sales Transformation Group. Then two, are we priced too high? Not necessarily being the low-cost producer, but we're reaching, we're bumping into that ceiling. So that seems to be what you're saying. So it's one of those two things, and you have to examine both of those. Do I have my process down? Am I selling as well as I could be? Am I differentiating our company? Are we out here showing the difference and why we're better and why we're the obvious choice? Or is our pricing too high? Okay. And that's what I'm hearing. So now, you know, and there's an easy solution to your, you know, to your close rate, John. It's just cut your prices again. We don't want to do that because that's what contractors are doing now. So we're faced with that. More contractors are going to go out of business. Okay. It's a race to the bottom. So if that's where you are, you're in trouble, man. You better go get a different job, or we got to figure out something different. We got to make changes. As I say, let's go sell some oranges, figure it out. Do we have different products? Do we have, you know, what can we do differently? So all that being said is let's work on our process because, John, you've got an awesome sales process. We've talked about this for years. We've actually been, so John and I have been working together for a long time. And, you know, so I helped John out in his business for a long time doing coaching and so forth. So I hate to hear this, and we're going to make some changes. Okay. So
we're making some changes. It was awesome for 2 years ago for the great economy, like you said. So yeah, we're definitely making changes. I'm in the process of doing that. If you've heard my process before, listen up because it's going to change a little bit. So going back to what I was saying about the contractors and the conclusion we came to where you combine technology and an in-person sales process, that's what we'll be doing now. So we are going to, you know, make sure, a word from our sponsor, make sure you have somebody like Ruby to answer your phone.
Let's hear from Ruby.
Support for the Roofer Coach podcast comes from Ruby, the number one customer communication solution for growing roofing businesses. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new customer intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. For more information, visit get.ruby.com/theroofercoach for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you powered by Ruby.
All right. You did a great job on that. I love it.
They have some good script, seriously, because it is true. Everything that I'm saying on that script is true. I've used them for years on your recommendation, and they really, it was great. The customers always liked having a live person. It still blows my mind that these really well-established companies have no live person answering their phone. So make sure that happens. A live person, make sure you have a good website. We can get into SEO and how you get people to your website, but make sure it's really easy for a customer to contact you on the website. So you're actually converting that website. Hook Agency, built my website exactly a year ago. And it's been really, really good. Tim Brown and his team are amazing. Shout out to Maggie. She's amazing to help with the design process. It is a huge undertaking to build a really good website, but it has definitely converted and been really, really helpful for my business. So have somebody live answer the phone. It can be Ruby Receptionist. It can be another receptionist that you have, and have a really good website. Have Facebook connected to your website, or a Calendly form, or have any types of ways that customers can get to you. Google local service ads, also known as Google LSA. Make sure that's working. Make as many possible ways that you have to connect with customers. Make sure that your vehicles have appropriate. I have a website on my vehicle. I don't have any phone numbers. I have a website on my yard signs. So I want to push people to the website so they'll sign up for appointments online. They can call us too if they get to the website. But what I've noticed is that between 9 p.m. and midnight, people are signing up for appointments. So that's the first step. That's part of our initial process. When it didn't have a 5-star experience from the very beginning. Yes, Dave.
Well, let me jump in real quick, because the things that you're talking about are really just the ante to get into the game, as I say, today. And you're so right. If you're not answering the phone, for instance, you know, I don't want to say you're going to be out of business, but man,
you will be.
You know, these things are going to change. So you've got to look at every one of these touch points along the way. And yep.
I believe this is the beginning part of the sales process. It's not when you get to the house. It starts from the very first inquiry. The first time someone reaches out to you, that's the beginning of the sales process. They want to be already knowing about a 5-star experience from the very beginning, so that you're getting that review at the very end. So
let's talk about that. If that's okay. And we'll walk through this. So I don't want to keep cutting you off here, but let me say, because
I'm down for a Joe Rogan 3-hour podcast. Let's go.
this is how it works. Okay. So it's every step and every touch, you know, as they say, you know, marketing 101, it takes 7 touches before a customer knows who the hell you really are. And so every touch along the way, touch point, when we're talking to the customer, we're getting back to them, we're sending an email, doing this and that. So we want to have as many as we can, because every one of those is going to reinforce the fact that we are a real business wanting to do business with our prospect. So let's start off. We're not going to get into lead generation, because that's another topic all in itself. But John, what do we have when we got opportunity? Oh, jump back. Give us your website address so our listeners can see what a real website should look like.
So go to roofsavannah.com or roofathensga.com. Either one of those websites goes to the same place. That's intentional. That's another kind of marketing hack that you can, as opposed to a vanity phone number that's easy to remember, you have an easy to remember website. So roofsavannah.com or roofathensga.com, and it'll take you to either place. You'll be able to see, you know, educate yourself. We still have we've been making some changes recently. So if you listen to this right now or in the next couple of weeks in April, then we're going to make some more changes. But we have a routing form through Calendly. I'm happy to help somebody with that. That makes us, you know, makes a customer, if they're in Athens, they're going to go to a certain calendar. If they're doing the 3 types of services that we offer, they're going to go to the specific calendar, so we don't confuse the location and the service. You want to be, it's a complex system, but it's really easy for a customer to navigate. Just basically a couple of questions and they get set up for an appointment.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. So we've got, let's look at the ways that customers can get in touch with us. First off, as you say, you got to generate leads. We have to have our website down and our ranking, we're doing all the correct SEO stuff where people are finding us, they're coming to our website, and we've got a good website that converts visitors into appointments. That's what a website does, period. You know, SEO will bring visitors, hopefully qualified visitors, to our site. It's just like going to a storefront. Are you going to open the door and look inside? Well, maybe you come by and the storefront looks like an old beat up, you know, slum down here. So people are not going to go inside. Same thing with the website. If they come to your website and it looks like shit, they're not going in. But we want them to come into our showroom, which is nice and tidy and organized, and a way to give them what they're looking for.
Okay? That's right. And I'll say a side note about what you just said. You kind of glossed over it really quickly. We talk about it a lot, which is pre-qualification. So if you're like me and you get an email every morning and every evening about some marketer guaranteeing a certain thing and a certain number of leads in your area and they're exclusive, whatever the wording is, what I will do is sometimes, now I don't waste my time a lot of times, but I'll say, hey, I would love to work with you. These are the 10 questions that we ask all of our prospects. They're pre-qualification questions, and I just screenshot them from our Calendly. And we'll work with you on every single one. If your prospects answer these questions, we'll pay you for these leads. And I've yet to have one marketer accept that. Because what they know is you can get an individual to click a button one time, but it's really difficult to get somebody that's serious about the roof to say, what type of roofing material? When are you looking to move forward with the roof? Are you looking for shingles or metal? Like those questions that we all ask, that's a little side tip hack for all the marketing emails that we get every single day as roofing contractors. Make sure that they ask specific pre-qualification questions, because 99% of them do not. So it is a waste of your money. You can't just buy leads like that. They're not actual pre-qualified homeowners who are looking to get their roof replaced. They're just out there sending you names and phone numbers and addresses.
Yeah, it's crazy. We got to have pre-qualified people attracting the right type of visitors. This is why SEO is so important, because people are searching for certain things. Well, if they're searching for dog grooming and they come to your website, you got a problem, okay? Because you're paying, one way or another, you're paying to get those visitors to come to your website to see what's going on, and you're wasting your money. And you can have a lot of visitors coming in, and if they don't convert to appointments, you got one of two problems. One is you're attracting the wrong type of visitors that aren't pre-qualified, that aren't looking for your service. Or two, your website sucks and they don't convert and they bounce and they leave. So that's the website. That's the basics, okay? You got to answer the phone. You got to have a good performing website. Doesn't matter what it looks like necessarily. You don't need a bunch of pretty photos and so forth. There is a way to do it and there's a way not to do it. So John, customer finds you. They come to your site and they say, man, this thing is awesome. So we've got a few ways to get in touch with you. One is they call you on the phone and you've got somebody answering that phone, Ruby in our case, that is the first touch you have with that business. Okay. You only have one chance to make a good first impression. Okay, and that has got to be strong. Otherwise, they're going to leave. The same thing as your website. If you got a crappy website, they're going to bounce. If you're turning these calls over into voicemail and you say, hey, you know, this is Joe, I'll get back to you when I feel like it. Well, first off, they don't believe that you're going to get back to them, and you probably won't, like most contractors. So that's one way to get in touch with you. Two is, I know you've got a form that they can fill out and send to you. And I'm assuming you have a system where you're immediately getting back in contact with those people. Would I be right?
You're right. So if you have a form and they sign up for an appointment at midnight, They're going to get an automated text message and email saying thanking them and what to expect on the inspection process. There's a link for a YouTube video.
Say that again so we're clear.
If you are filling out a form at midnight, you're going to get
which they do many times, right?
They do, yeah. It's often way after hours or on the weekends or during a storm or whatever the case may be. So they are filling out a form. They're getting scheduled on our calendar all automatically, so they know a date and time. They've answered the pre-qualification questions, so we know they're. We think that they're a legitimate company, or a legitimate homeowner looking for a roof. And they get a short clip, a YouTube video of what to expect for the inspection. So they watch a short video as well. Now, if Ruby Receptionist answers, they're going to ask the same pre-qualification questions, and they're going to get scheduled the same way. So if you're using Ruby or another service, I recommend that you call that prospect again during next business hours and confirm they're actually a legitimate homeowner looking for a roof replacement so that you are not wasting your time driving to something that you don't do. Hey, we really wanted, we had somebody wanting siding the other day. We're like, you just said you wanted a roof replacement and you're asking for siding now. So make sure you're not wasting time. It's very important to not waste your time.
Give us some of those questions. We call it a project discovery sheet. This is important where you're asking pre-qualifying questions to see if these are prospects that fit into our ideal customer that we talk about all the time. Whether that's in, are they in the area that we work in? Are they looking for the service that we provide? Or are they house flippers that could give a crap about what you're selling? Give us a few of these questions. We don't have to get into it, but this is a form that we
use. We'll go through it. We'll go through it really fast. It's not too long.
And every time you get a call, and this is why it's a sheet, you know, or you got to have, we want to know the answers to these questions and whether or not they meet our qualifications. And if they don't, we don't want to spend time going out there and seeing them as so many people do. Let's drop this and we'll go out and talk to these guys that have no intention of buying a roof from you. They can't afford you. They can't, you know, aren't interested in what you're selling. So we've got to pre-qualify that. What do we ask them every time, John?
Okay. So I use Calendly. It's a software that is a calendar scheduling software. You can use lots of other softwares out there. I have two locations. So I use the routing forms in Calendly. So routing forms are a new feature. And the first question is, where is your home located? It's a required question, must be answered. Either it says Athens area or Savannah area. So the customer has to choose one of those. That's going to select a certain type of calendar. So the next question is, what type of service do you need? Required question. Roof replacement, roof repair, or roof or gutter replacement. So they can choose one of those three, and it'll, again, go to a specific type of calendar. So once you do that, then you get into, if you, again, start listening now, if you only have one location for your business. So you already know what they're looking for and where they're looking for it. So then a calendar will pop up. You select a day, you select the time, you confirm it, you put all your information in, you know, that's all required. Address, all that stuff's required. The first question is, do you own the home? Required, yes or no.
That's a good question. What happens if they don't answer the question?
They cannot actually, these are all required questions. So if they don't answer the question, they don't get scheduled.
Because they're not serious anyway. I mean,
they're not serious. That's right. So again, it asks, what type of services do you need? This one, you can actually choose multiple services. So they may think they have a repair or replacement, and they knew that need gutter replacement as well. So they can choose all three. We just know, okay, well, they're looking for multiple services. Next question is, what is important to you? Great quality or lowest price? It's amazing the number of people that initially choose lowest price and they end up going with us, and we are the highest price company. So don't let this fool you, that you just need to know from a sales process of where they're coming from in the beginning. They're price sensitive. A lot of the great quality people still may be difficult to sell. They may want great quality, but they don't want to pay for it. So it is a great question to ask.
You know,
next question.
Those you can have one or the other, but generally you can't have both, right?
You can't have both. Yeah, you can't have both. And it is actually, you cannot choose both. You can only choose one or the other on that question.
I like that.
Love it. So the next question, you can choose multiple. And the question is, how do you plan on paying for roofing services? Savings, financing through DeLaurier Roofing, insurance proceeds, or a credit card with a 3.5% fee. So nice. we're teeing them up already. And a lot of times people will click all of those boxes. That's fine. They don't know how they're going to pay. The answer is they don't know. But we want them to know that it costs 3.5% for credit cards. And maybe we want to know if it's insurance or not. We want to know these questions beforehand. Final question is, when are you planning to move forward with the roofing services? As soon as possible, within 2 weeks, or within 30 days. Notice we don't want to go beyond 30 days, because if you do that, they're not actually serious anyway. And we all know in roofing world, residential specifically, well, commercial too, but material prices have been volatile. This is April 11th when we're recording this. And by now, if you're under a rock, if you haven't received the 4 different emails from your suppliers saying that we're going to have a 5% increase in material starting May 15th, 2023. So that's why we do 30 days as max. If they're longer than 30 days, probably should give them a quote another time. We'll go out there still. If they say 30 days and they really mean 3 months, we'll go out there. We'll say, okay, great. Well, we're going to have to requote and do the whole process again in 3 months. And that's fine.
Now I can hear our listeners saying, hey, you know, a lead's a lead. You know, I'm not going to, I want to go out there. I want to get these leads. And hey, leads are hard to come by. Why don't I run out there and take a look at this? And what you're doing, John, is that you're making it more difficult for me to get a lead.
And truthfully, there is some merit to that now in the recession economy. However, people do not realize the cost to actually drive, spend time when you could be doing other activities that could more likely sell another job. So there is a direct cost and an indirect cost, and it's your time. Not just, I'd rather be sitting on the beach than going driving an hour to a thing, but an actual, you could be doing other sales. Like, I'm going to be going in a couple hours and be going to a networking event. Okay. You could be doing that. That's probably more, it's probably more effective and a better decision for your business than to go waste at least, I've done it all the time. I've done it for years, wasted time forever. Oh, well, this is only 45 minutes away. Okay. Well, I'm going to drive 45 minutes. That's an hour and a half of driving. If traffic's perfect, then I'm going to stay there for another 30 to 45 minutes. So there goes 2.5-3 hours of my day.
Exactly. And this is what our,
it's one person that doesn't even care. They don't even want the roof right now. So
we hear this all the time from our coaching clients. You know, I'm just so busy. I mean, I'm too busy running leads to plan our business, to run my business, to learn about the numbers, all of these things, because they're spending all our time screwing around with deals that are never going to close when you should be running your business. That's what you need to be doing. You know, and this is the whole point of pre-qualifying, is that we're able to increase our close rate because we're only seeing people that are qualified, that we pre-qualified, that are as buyers. And we're not just running around in circles. We have time to really get our act together and think about the things that we're talking about here and improve our processes, right?
That's right. That's what we're doing. This is part of the sales process. It's really, really helped my business. I will continue to do this. I'm not going to sway from these questions. Kathleen answers all of our phones now, and she's amazing. So I don't have to do that second phone call. She calls if somebody fills out a form, and she confirms that they're an actual lead. because that we got one yesterday that was from New York, and they filled out the whole form, answered all the questions, and they're in New York. We're in Georgia, just so you know.
Who's
so
Kathleen now again?
Kathleen is my amazing new virtual assistant from SMA. So Joe, shout out to Joe, who has started SMA, Sales Management Administration. VAs that they're from the Philippines, and they are awesome. They're very well trained, very good process, much more affordable than having a full-time office manager. But she helps me with so many things, not just answering the phones. She helps me with, so she's understanding the roofing process. So she, not only does she help pre-qualify, she helps write the estimates. We're using ChatGPT now, so the estimates are perfectly accurate. Once the job is sold, she is ordering material, contacting the labor crew, contacting the customer, keeping them top of mind. And if weather changes, she's helping with that. So she's really cutting down on my time and really helping the customer's experience be amazing. It's the best in our 7 years. Customers have the by far the best experience they've ever had, because they're developing a relationship with Kathleen the whole time. They still know me. They still know our production crew. But it is much easier for us to get a 5-star review now, because they're developing these intimate relationships with the actual team that we have that's working with them for this big decision. So,
you do have an additional sales cost that you didn't have before. However, I think what you're saying is that your time is better spent on other things, because this is a lower cost way to get these things done. You want to spend your time on $1,000 an hour stuff, $500 an hour stuff, because, and that's what you should be doing, which is running your business and going out there selling work and developing business. Now, one thing I want to say, with this pre-qualification system that we have, we're looking at few, and we've got to have, bottom line, we got to have a good lead flow to be able to take the cream off the top, the qualified ones. So we're having a harder time selling, lower close rate. Well, my suggestion here to John, which we'll get into, maybe we'll do this in two sections, but we've got to turn the faucet on. We've got to get some more leads, more lead flow. There's fewer deals going down, perhaps fewer people buying roofs. That pie perhaps is shrinking. How do we keep our piece, or increase our piece, our bigger piece? We've got to do better lead generation, get more deals in here that we can choose from. And this is a good time to thank our sponsor, Peak Leads, because Peak Leads will get you on commercial roofs. If you are a commercial roofing contractor, or even thinking about getting into the commercial space, you want to talk to Peak Leads, because they have a unique system through their technology where they can get in touch with the cream of the crop. It's the building owner. It's the decision maker that's difficult to get in touch with. And that's what they do. They do a great job of that. It's very similar system that we had in my business, and it works. And I know it works because we've got a number of contractors, commercial contractors in our group that uses them very successfully. So get in touch with peakleads.io. See what they've got going, see how they can help you, and tell them Dave told you to give them a call. Would you agree?
I would agree. There's okay. A fighter jet flying over my head right now. It's very loud.
Okay, so back to our first step in the process. We've gotten back to them immediately with our automated text message, letting them know that we received their call. They filled out the form. We appreciate that very much, and blah, blah, blah. They get the video. They get the whole deal. So what you're saying is, whichever way they contact you, they are going to be left with a great first impression. And you also have schedule, they can schedule their own calls right off your website, right?
That's right. Yeah, they can schedule all that right off the website. One thing to note is that the automation and the communication is the foundation for what we believe to be the best customer experience is communication. You can have a lot of bells and whistles. You can have different features in your CRM, but we believe that communication is the real core value for any contractor. And so when Kathleen's communicating with people, either automated text messages, phone calls, or manual text messages, it's coming from her phone. So there's no weird communication at any point during their process. Their customer experience is very, very streamlined. Again, seamless. With a production manager, if it's an automation that goes out and say, hey, we just ordered your roofing material. Hey, we just scheduled your job. Those are automations that we have, but they're coming from the same phone number from Kathleen. So the customer's not confused by who is this? What is this from? You know, they have busy lives. They want to know this is Kathleen saying, we're just keeping you up to date. We're scheduling your job. We're scheduling the crew. The weather's this way. All those things are really, really important for the customer. The roof we just sold, that was the feedback I got from both spouses. They both said your communication was the best, and that was one of the big factors in us choosing you, because we knew we could always get a hold of you, and you were the one that showed us with the follow-ups the most that you wanted our business the most. So that was a huge testament to having systems in place and follow-ups in place to make sure that you actually stay top of mind to sell those jobs.
Just what we're talking about. Differentiation. What makes you better? There you go. You ought to be able to get 5-10% higher price than your competitor. We talk about speed to lead. And this is what's so important, is that you have to get back to them immediately. If you are using a voice, you're rolling these things over into voicemail, you're just starting out perhaps, you want to be sure on that message that you are saying, one is that it's a great message. And you also say, I am going to call you back within the hour, let's say, or within the half hour. And you need to be notified of that call that you've got and this is where you can get inexpensive phone service or just that's going to contact you. If a message is left, you know, you're going to get a text, you know, a translation, blah, blah, blah. So speed to lead is important. This is why most people fail when it comes to HomeAdvisor or any of these crappy leads. It is going to be the first guy to call back, and you've got to have that immediately. So speed to lead. All right, John, you've got an appointment. You pre-qualified them. This is right in your zone. You've got a call from Kathleen. It's further pre-qualified this perhaps. Now what happens? Are you going to go out to the house to measure this thing? Are you going to do what? How are you going to, what's the next step in our process?
That's a great time to stop for next week's episode. What's going to happen on next week's episode?
Ooh, I am going to be excited to find out about this. This is where the rubber meets the road. And this is how we're going to do it. And this is how you run your business. And you can charge a 30% gross profit margin and still make money because you got an efficient, well-run, well-oiled machine. And you can do these things. And if you've got this, you know, big fluff, you've got all these people in the office, all of this crap that has been built up over time, and this is a big problem. And I see when, you know, things are great, you're throwing people at problems, and next thing you know, you get this huge overhead in salaries and all kinds of garbage that's gonna bury you when things get slower. But John, give us a preview of what we're gonna hear about next week, because this is really the meat.
So in next week's episode, we'll go through what I have changed in my process. And I'll give you a hint. It's what we talked about at the beginning of the episode. But it's a new thing that we're doing. It's nothing new that you haven't heard before, but it is a little different than what most people are doing. And I look forward to going through it on next week's episode.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Be sure you tune into that next week. And if you're a contractor that wants to make more money, wants to have more free time, grow your business, get your company organized so you're not wearing all these hats putting out fires all the time, we do coaching. We can help you with that. We can help you through our one-on-one coaching. John and I both coach together. That is the best way to move the needle in your business because John's doing it every day. I go from a big picture planning position, get your company organized. We also have mastermind groups where we get together with other non-competing contractors from around the country on Zoom. These groups kick ass. I'll tell you, they are really great. So if that's something you're interested in and you're ready to move your business and you're tired of doing the same thing over and over again, and that's in the good times, what's going to happen when we get hit by the bad times? So give us a call. Go to our website at theroofercoach.com. There's a big button you can push. Give me a call and set up an appointment. We will talk about your business, see if we can help you. And if not, you're going to pick up a few tips that you can implement in your business. So look forward to hearing from you. And we will see you next week on The Roofer Show.